What would you say is the temperature around the Browns and around the facilities right now, Mary Kay?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is not what anybody expected. It's not where anyone believed that this team would be right now. I remember talking to Myles Garrett and watching his hype video before the season opener, and he was talking about the mission was to win the Super Bowl this year. So that's where the minds of these players were at. And this is not at all what anybody was hoping for, what anyone expected. And they are in gut check, soul searching mode right now. And it's really kind of a difficult time here.
A couple of why questions. Why do you believe the expectations were so high for 2024?
I really believe that these guys looked around at this roster and saw all the talent on this football team. You have Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Joel Bitonio, Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson, a lot of Pro Bowl players, a lot of veteran experience on this team. And I really think that they just felt that this was the year they could put it all together and that it was going to happen for them. And it's just really been unfortunate for everybody involved that it hasn't come together at all.
And then my second why question would be, why do they believe it's been such a struggle to start?
It's a complicated answer. It really is. It's a very, very complicated answer. But I think it's too simple to say that it's Deshaun Watson. I really do. I think that it's just too easy to go there and say that he is the reason why they are 1-4 right now. Certainly he's part of the reason. He's not coming off of a good game at all against the Commanders, but it's just much more complex than that. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact that they were not healthy on the offensive line to start the season. They haven't been able to protect Deshaun. Amari Cooper got off to a very slow start. David Njoku missed 3 games. It was a lot of things. The fact that they were running a brand new offense, Deshaun Watson coming off of shoulder surgery, the defense somehow forgot how to tackle. A lot of things just kind of came, you know, conspired together to result in this 1-4 start. And it really kind of has been a shocker for everyone.
How much hope is there, again, inside the building that they can turn it around?
Well, there's a lot of talk that they can get it turned around, but I do sense that there is some, I would have to say, maybe some doubt on the part of people involved about where this thing is going to go at 1-4, just because it's not like they're coming off of a close loss. It's not like they're coming off of 3 or 4 games where they just almost won the game. This past game that they lost to the Commanders, it was one of the ugliest losses that I've seen in all of my time covering the Browns. It's right up there with some of the worst that I've seen. So I think that's what I think gives people pause, is the fact that, you know, they're talking about this team doesn't have an identity and this team doesn't have any rhythm and they don't know what they're good at and they need to be talking to the coaches. And, you know, when you're doing that kind of soul searching to find your way, it's kind of difficult to pull out of the tailspin.
We're always excited to have Mary Kay Cabot with us on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, longtime Browns beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Processing, a lot of processing happening around the team after the first 5 weeks of the season. So Mary Kay, we heard from Coach Kevin Stefanski on Sunday that he's sticking with Deshaun Watson. What were his reasons for that choice?
And we talked to him again about this today, the day after the game, and he 100% believes that it's just a systemic problem on offense. It's not just Deshaun Watson, but it's a lot of those things that I mentioned before. It's injuries along the offensive line, the inability to protect Deshaun, which I know it's not as simple as that. It's everyone together works on that protection and getting rid of the ball quickly enough and those kinds of things. But Kevin Stefanski really believes that it is a system-wide, scheme-wide offensive problem, not just a Deshaun problem. So we'll have to see. I wrote a column today saying that I think that he should turn the play calling over to Ken Dorsey. I just think they need to do something to shake things up, to change things up. And if he's going to stick with Deshaun, then something's got to give.
I saw that column. I'm glad you mentioned it. I was going to bring it up. What do we know about other alternatives? How could that pose fresh perspective?
Well, you never really know if it's going to work or not, but it's something that you can try. It's something that you can do that you can always go back on it if you had to. I think it would be easier to turn the play calling over to Ken Dorsey, and then if you decided 3 or 4 games into it that that wasn't working, I don't think it would be the end of the world if Kevin had to take it back. I think it would be difficult to bench Deshaun and then try to reinstate him 3 or 4 games down the road. And if it doesn't work, then really sometimes all is lost. I do think that shaking it up might help in the same way. Look at what happened to the Bills last year. Mm. Ken Dorsey was not the problem necessarily on that offense, but nevertheless, it did the trick in some way. They went 6-1 after they fired Ken Dorsey. The offensive numbers really didn't change all that much, but there was something about the fact that it seemed to wake up that offense or wake up that football team. So in the same way, I think it could possibly happen for the Browns, where changing it up just kind of brings everybody back together.
You can find Mary Kay's columns on Cleveland.com/Browns. It's covered the team for a long time and with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, let's talk about the quarterback position, because I put a post up on Sunday watching the offense, which right now is last in the league in total yards through 5 weeks. And I mentioned the guaranteed money for Deshaun, and I got back a flood. Now, this is fans, but a flood of fans who believe a change is necessary. This is an embarrassing situation. Former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky's called it the worst situation in the NFL. I know that it's not all his fault, but what do you see with the quarterback specifically?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, in the first 3-4 games of the season, I really did believe that Deshaun just wasn't getting enough help. He wasn't getting protected. He's been sacked 26 times. The Browns, I think, overestimated the ability of their offensive tackles to come back from their knee surgeries. These guys have either not been playing or they have been struggling. There have been plenty of issues along that offensive line that haven't helped. Amari Cooper got off to a very slow start. David Njoku wasn't out there. There were a lot of reasons why this offense just was not playing up to its standards. But this past game was really, really a rough game. I have to watch it over again. But this was the first game when I looked out there and I thought, something just is not right here. And I really did wonder if Deshaun wasn't more of the reason than I believed he was in like the first 3 games of the season, or the first 4 games of the season. So I don't think benching him is the right decision right now, because I think, again, it would be very, very hard to go back to him after 3 or 4 games if it doesn't work out.
True.
But they've got to figure out a way that he can get the ball out of his hand quickly. Everyone is just blitzing the heck out of them. They're not picking it up. They're not handling the stunts. They're not handling the games. Deshaun is really, really struggling against the blitz. That's when most of the sacks are coming. They have to find a way that he can function, because right now it is so dysfunctional that he cannot move the chains.
There is a moment in the game against the Commanders where it appeared, now this is on TV, but it appeared as though Kevin Stefanski wanted to go for it on 4th down, and Deshaun decided not to, walked off the field, went to the sidelines. At least on social media, there was a lot made of that exchange. Any talk about it afterwards?
Yes, there was plenty of talk about that afterwards. And when you break it all down and when you talk to the people involved, he walked off of that field because there were 12 men in the huddle and they had just burned a timeout a couple of plays before that, and there was still plenty of time left, and they didn't want to be burning another timeout there so soon after that. So he walked off the field because there were 12 men in the huddle. He knew that they were going to just have to take the delay and go ahead and kick that field goal.
Gotcha.
So it was a miscommunication, but he's taking plenty of heat for that.
Mm. Where does Nick Chubb fit into the equation, Mary Kay?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know that I would bring Nick Chubb back into the fold right now. Coming off of his second major knee reconstruction, this is going to be a monumental moment in his career and in Browns history. And I don't know if it's right to bring him back at a time when the team is struggling so much, when you don't know really where they're going. And I think I would probably wait another couple of weeks to see if it is actually worth bringing Nick Chubb back into the fold right now. So it's a difficult decision.
How healthy is he?
Well, he looks great.
Good.
Almost surreal. Yes, he looks fantastic. And to see him trying to make this historic comeback, I don't know that anybody has ever come back from two major knee reconstructions like this in the NFL. So it would be a historic comeback. I just don't know right now if it's the right thing to do. But he certainly looks great. He's worked so incredibly hard. And this was supposed to be an incredible comeback story, one that ended up in some kind of a playoff campaign. I just don't know if that's going to happen right now.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation that the defense also bears a role in this. We know Myles Garrett has been dealing with some different aches and pains and injuries. As you watch this defense, why do you think it's not playing at the level of last season?
That's been really, really puzzling. I think the defense, when I look back to last year, I really tried to let people know that I thought this team wasn't as battle-tested last year as perhaps they needed to be to succeed when it came time to playing a good playoff team like the Texans, and they got into that wild card game, and they just really weren't ready for the level of intensity and the level of talent that they were facing there. And if you look at some of the quarterbacks that the Browns faced last year, they just didn't have this gauntlet of great quarterbacks. They played Clayton Tune instead of Kyler Murray. They played Trevor Siemian instead of Aaron Rodgers, Jake Browning instead of Joe Burrow. And the list kind of went on and on that way. I just don't think that this defense really played the best of the best last season. And they kind of ran it back as a defense. And they probably could have used a little bit more talent on the team.
You've got the same record in Cleveland as do the Cincinnati Bengals. Pittsburgh Steelers, they've dropped two games in a row. Ravens appear to be surging now and have maybe gotten everything together, but the division isn't quite as stout as it was a season ago. What are your impressions of the AFC North so far?
Well, I don't think anyone would have believed you if you told them what the picture would look like after five games of the season. No one would have thought that it would go like this. Who would have believed that the Bengals and the Browns would be 1-4 right now? I always thought this would be a fight to the finish in the AFC North. Who knows? Maybe it still will be. I think the fact that the Ravens got off to a slow start and only have three victories right now, I think that should give both the Browns and the Bengals hope that maybe they can get this thing turned around. All it takes is a couple of victories before you're sort of right back in the thick of it. And who knows, it's a very, very long season. Anything can still happen. There can be injuries. There can be dry periods, dry spells by a team. So the fact that they're not too, too far behind the Ravens, I think, gives them hope that perhaps they can catch up and maybe good things can still happen.
How many times have you heard the name Joe Flacco from fans after he goes out and throws for nearly 360 yards and three touchdowns on Sunday?
Oh, not just Joe Flacco, but how about Baker Mayfield? Here are poor Browns fans watching this team at 1-4, watching Deshaun Watson struggle, watching the Browns soul search and scratch their heads, and then you have to turn on highlights and only to see Baker Mayfield and Joe Flacco out there having tremendous success. So it's not a great time right now to be a Browns fan.
Has it been common this season to hear the booing from the crowd?
Yeah, there's been plenty of booing from the crowd, and that's sad. It's really sad to go to Cleveland Browns Stadium, now Huntington Bank Field, and hear that kind of booing. I know it's hurtful to the players. They're trying everything they possibly can to get this thing turned around. Mm. That's a place where the Browns went 8-1 last season. They're struggling at home. They're struggling on the road. And, of course, the Browns fans are well-traveled. They come everywhere the Browns go. Just been a very, very difficult time right now.
Hope has certainly taken a hit in these first 5 weeks. But as you point out, there's still a long way to go. It's always great to catch up with Mary Kay Cabot. And that's how you can find her online at Mary Kay Cabot, Browns beat writer, Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Amy.